taking the assignments the Father puts in our hearts and just living with Him and walking them out. And sometimes people ask me, Keith, what motivates you? What keeps you going? You know, I mean, I tell some people, man, if I would have worked for the post office or if I would have worked for the government or worked for the company, man, after 35 years, maybe get retirement, maybe get a little pension, maybe get something. Actually, I went into full-time ministry in September 1979. So I worked for an African organization for 5 years called Africa Enterprise. In fact, they have an office here in England, and I used to come to England for them. But I did a lot of our work in Africa East and South Africa. And but then in 1984, I moved back to America and bought an old car for $3,600 and drove around America for 6 months. And I asked the Lord to introduce me to people. Let people know I'm carrying something. See, the visions you carry are so important. Part of the joy of living is in carrying the assignments and the dreams God puts in your heart. But part of the cool thing is when you connect relationally in friendship and fellowship, because many times it takes other people in our lives to draw out of us what we have in us. But the cool thing is when the promises that you're holding become physical, when the word is made flesh, when it's physical, then it really can do a dynamic work and be a voice for the love of the Father and bring help and hope to other people. And so that's what missions is all about. And so the Lord, in His kindness to me, put some people in our lives while we were very young in those days, and we're still marching. And somehow God still connects people to our hearts and helps us bring out the present day dreams and visions and assignments. But what I want to talk to you a little bit about today is how to stay compelled, how to stay motivated, really, in life. How do you stay motivated and compelled for your marriage? How do you stay motivated and compelled when the world's under such stress and strain and people are like at each other's throats? I mean, people don't even know how to have conversations. Political chaos seems to be in every country I ever visit these days. You know, the world's in a very precarious place. So those of us who are in the kingdom of God's dear Son, we need to understand, okay, Lord, how do we stay motivated in our culture today, in our world today, to do what You want us to do? So I'm going to share a few verses. If you have a Bible, I carry the old-fashioned Bible, you know, one you can read that's, you know, a leather Bible or whatever. But I know that most people have a digital Bible now or will have them on the screens. But the key is not how you carry the Bible. The key is that you get the truth of God, what He's speaking to you, kind of settled in your heart and renewed in your mind so you can live in accordance with the character and life of Jesus Christ. So I'll be sharing a few verses with you today. I won't preach real, real long today because I'm getting a little bit hungry, and I know your pastor's going to take me to lunch. Hallelujah. That's what's important too sometimes. But anyway, let's just pray, and then we're going to look at some scriptures together. Father, thank You that You love us. Thank You so much for this great place, this great space, a place of grace. Thank You that love is evident. Your love for each of us is evident. Let us get soaked in the love of the Father today. Father, stir us on the inside. Kind of squeeze out our hearts, squeeze out our lives in such a way, hold us in such a way that's undeniable to our soul, that we know we're loved, we're blessed, we're redeemed, we're righteous, we're complete in You. Father, thank You that You're blessing every person in this place. You're going to fulfill their dreams, the assignments You've put in their hearts. You're going to take all fear from them this morning. Every bit of discouragement, every bit of pain, you're going to eradicate it from their midst this morning because of Your great love and grace and the living Word that You're going to speak to us. We thank You for it now, Father, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Praise the Lord. So 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15, we may have that reference come up on the screen. It's a cool verse. 2 Corinthians 9, 15 says this: thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. You know, sometimes it's just good just to say thanks. You know, the way you stay tender, the way you stay tender-hearted is with gratitude toward the Father. Thanksgiving is so powerful. Even if you can't understand the circumstances of life, even if you don't understand the mystery of God in Christ, the beautiful thing many times is just to be still and say thank You. Thank You, Father. Thanks be unto God, it says, for His indescribable gift. Now, this verse in its context is really written to people who had given an offering to help people who had a need. So it was written really to churches who gave offerings to another church who had a need. But I like the context of God giving his gift, Jesus, to us. Thanks be unto God for his indescribable gift, Jesus. You know, Jesus is the gift that keeps on giving. You all know the verse, for God so loved the world, he gifted, he gave, he gave, he gifted his only begotten Son, that whoever believes and receives the gift, the Lamb of God, has everything they ever need, life everlasting, right? So God gave Jesus to us as a gift. Thanks be unto God for his indescribable gift. Now, the gift God gives you, there's no human language to fully articulate the beauty and the strength of it. It's the mystery of Christ. Thanks be unto God for an indescribable gift, Jesus. Jesus told the woman at the well, you know, she had a life filled with chaos and pain, headache and heartache. Had several marriages, you know, was living with a guy. And she met Jesus, and Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who's speaking to you, you'd ask of the gift, and the gift would give you everything you'll ever need. See, the gift is astonishingly beautiful because it gets down deep into your messes of life, because we all have lots of messes, don't we? And the love of God draws us to himself and brings restoration and fixes us. So thanks be unto God for his indescribable gift. I brought a couple little boxes with me, a little illustration. You know, I taped all these together at Betty's house this morning and wrapped my little other box here. But just to talk about gifts for a minute, thanks be unto God for his indescribable gift. This box represents our human life. This is our humanity. This is Keith Hershey in the flesh, in physical form. You know, boxes are shipped all over the world now. You know, in fact, people don't go to the malls much anymore in the States. They buy everything online. They buy groceries online. Heidi, 1 year ago, had both her knees replaced, double knee replacement surgery. And so I canceled all my traveling, all my ministry, and I was the head nurse at the house. And I got fired every day. This woman fired me every day. But bless her heart, she couldn't find anybody else to help her. So I got rehired after I was fired, you know, every day. But Heidi learned while she was recovering, she learned how to order everything online. We ordered groceries online. And then she found Amazon. Oh, my goodness. So every day I'd come home from the office, there were boxes at our front door. And I always thought, well, maybe she thought of me and bought me something. Never one box for me. You know, it's always for the grandkids. But she really, really enjoyed. But, you know, boxes take a beating. Your life takes a beating just going through life, doesn't it? Your world. We get bruised and banged up and, you know, sometimes we go to wrong places, wrong destinations, take wrong turns. And then the boxes are always labeled. You know, most of us have labels that people put on us. Your daddy said something nasty. You're never going to amount to anything. Your mama said something to you. Your uncle, your auntie, your school teacher. In fact, you've labeled yourself. You looked in the mirror and said you're ugly. You think you're never going to amount to anything. You tell yourself you're not very smart. See, we go through lives labeled. And most people know themselves based on themselves. But God doesn't know you based on you. God knows you based on Jesus. And the beautiful thing about believing, faith, the love of God gets you out of yourself into the gift, into himself. The gift, Jesus, wraps you. Your gift wrapped. This is the same person. One person knows himself according to the flesh life. The other person knows himself according to the Christ life. What's the difference? Faith. Every day, Keith Hershey, to stay compelled, to stay motivated, I have to see myself the way God sees me. God sees me in Christ, redeemed, forgiven, righteous, whole. It's beautiful. God sees me in the Lamb. See, God's truth of you is not you. God's truth of you is Jesus. You're in him. And this, to me, is the beauty of the gospel. It's gift-based. The gospel is not about merit. The gospel is not about morals. The gospel is not about doing good. The gospel is not about fixing yourself up, presenting your best self. Your best self just can't cut it. You know, I couldn't qualify for righteousness with God on my best day. Righteousness, the Bible says, is gifted to you. It's the gift of righteousness. You receive an abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, so you reign in life. See, the way you have victory in life, the way you really excel in life, the way the dreams you're holding come into manifestation, is to take your place in the gift and announce to yourself, I am gift wrapped. Jesus is my everything. Christ is my life. How do you do it? By faith. And you know what? You have to announce to yourself this truth because nobody else will announce it to you. So you have to become your own favorite preacher.
That's good.
You tell yourself the truth of God's reconciling love. It's indescribable, but you just learn to be loved. I always tell people this is a beloved life. This is somebody trying to love. People used to tell me, oh, Keith, you got to love God harder. You got to serve God harder. And I tried. Depressed myself to no end. For many years in the ministry, I learned about 12 years ago in my life to be loved. So my assignment in my day is not necessarily trying to love God. My assignment in my day is to learn to be loved by God. When I let God love me, you know what I do as a reciprocal, automatic response? I love Him. You know what even I do, which is even better? I love my wife. I love my kids. I love my neighbors. I can love my enemies. Now, that's the tough one, huh? And the way we do it is learning to be loved. Take your place in the gift. You are gift wrapped. And this is what motivates us. This is what compels us. If you're going to live according to the flesh, you will always judge yourself. And if you're judging yourself, I'll guarantee you'll judge your neighbor. You'll judge others. And you'll base everything on morals. You'll base everything on how they pretty themselves up. It's like we were packing our little bags this morning, staying at Betty's place, and because we're going on a different place tonight. So Heidi, when she travels with me, she has this magnifying mirror that she carries in her suitcase. Those magnifying mirrors are of the devil. Do you know what I mean? They're, huh? You put them on, and they make everything bigger, right? So you look, your flesh, your labels, you look in a magnifying mirror, and you say, oh, my goodness, look at those wrinkles. Look at these age spots. The magnifying mirror shows you things you never want to see. How many know I'm telling the truth? But most people, this is the way they live their Christian life. They're always inspecting themselves to see if they're good enough. Forget it. You'll live disappointed your whole life. You'll become self-righteous, and self-righteousness never gets you anywhere. Not with the Father. It might get you somewhere in life, so to speak. But the thing is, the gifted life is the way we live. We don't live inspecting ourselves, trying to be pretty enough, in good enough, in moral enough, or whatever. We accept the gift of righteousness. We let God love us, and the love of the Father transforms us into His image with time as we yield to the love of God. But I don't lose my, you know, relationship with the Father because I had a flesh moment or because I was naughty. No. The love of God is strong enough to hold you and care for you whenever and however. And this, to me, is the beauty of the gospel. When I preach around the world, I don't preach to people according to their flesh. I don't preach to people according to sin. I'm not a sin preacher. They already know they're sinners. All they got to do is just wake up one day and, you know, have those losing thoughts in their mindset about how broken the world is and their life is. Everybody knows it. But, you know, I preach to people according to their righteousness. I preach Christ to them. When you preach Jesus, when you preach Christ, they can take their place in Him and their gift wrapped. Some people think like this wrapping paper we put on this morning, and Heidi tied this little bow for me. But some people think, well, if I act in the flesh, even though I'm in Christ, then the wrapping will be ripped off me. Well, no, it's like shrunk wrap to you. The Bible says when you believe in Jesus, you're one spirit with the Lord. Now, see, this is part of the mystery of Christ. How do you explain that? I don't know. It's part of the indescribable gift, the beauty of the Lamb of God. But the beautiful thing is you can be in Christ and still have flesh moments. This is why we always have to understand the beauty and the strength of Jesus in our deepest pain, in our deepest frustration. So the way I stay motivated and compelled in life is not live a flesh life, but live a Christ life. And I do this by faith. And I've been doing this now a long time, and it's something I have to still do every day of my life. Because this mindset is tempted with the circumstances of my life. My life's got challenges just like yours. Pain, chaos, frustration, galore. I'm not going to tell you a lot about it because we'd all be depressed. Hallelujah. So I'm going to preach Christ instead and show the beauty of how you renew your mind and behold the Lamb and look unto Jesus and stay gift-wrapped and say, thanks be unto God for his indescribable gift. It's hard to imagine that Keith Hershey is the righteousness of God in Christ. It's really hard for me to imagine that your pastor Mark is the righteous. I mean that takes great, no, it's great faith. But his brother Steve, that's a whole nother dimension right there, you know what I mean? But it's the thing is, this is the beauty of Jesus for you. And then you don't need to know anybody according to the flesh. The Bible actually talks about that. It says, know no one according to the flesh, not even Christ. Huh? It's in 2 Corinthians 5. It's amazing. You don't have to know yourself according to yourself. You know yourself according to Christ. Let me show you something kind of cool. Go with me in your Bible, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. How can you know that you're loved? How can you be loved if you really don't know that you're loved? Well, let's look at this verse. 2 Corinthians 5:14. Here's what Paul tells the believers in Corinth. He says, for the love of Christ compels us. Now, let's pause just for a moment while this verse is up here. For the love of Christ. Notice it does not say, my love for Christ compels me. It's not what it says. My love for Jesus compels me to stay in the ministry. No, it doesn't. No. What compels me to stay in the ministry is God's love for me. The love of Christ compels me. Well, my love for my spouse will keep me married. Well, it's good that you love your spouse, but it won't do the job fully. You need to understand God loves you. It's God's love for you that's going to compel you to have a good, strong, healthy marriage, even in pain points of life, in pain points of relationships. It's very, very important to understand it's the love of Christ that compels you. And that's why I always tell people, your main assignment, my main duty, really, in ministry, the way I prepare to preach is to be loved. The way I prepare for everything is to be loved. A lot of people come up to me and say, oh, Keith, I don't have enough faith. I've got a faith problem. No, you don't. I think most people have a love problem. If you're sitting in a great church like this, it's being taught the Word. You know, faith comes by hearing the Word of Christ, it says in Romans 10, 17. But I think many of us have a love problem. Faith works by being loved. And so it's very important that you keep your heart saturated with the revelation of the gift that's indescribable. And don't know yourself according to yourself. This will depress the daylights out of you. No wonder you want to call it quits. You have to understand God loves me completely in all my broken, as I am, not as I need to be. It's just so beautiful. It's so wonderful. So that verse again says, for the love of Christ compels us because we judge us. In other words, we make a decision. A judgment is a decision. It's, you know, if you go before a magistrate, a judge, they make a judgment. It's a decision. And, you know, for the believer, you have favorable judgment. Judgment's not always negative. People say, you're going to be judged by God. Brother, listen, I have favorable judgment when I'm in the Lamb. Jesus said, if I accept him, I no longer come into judgment. That's what he said. So I'd rather rest in the gift that I can't explain. Like, cool, that's where I need to be. And let my heart get radicalized in the love of the Father. It says, the love of Christ compels us because we judge thus. What's our decision? What's our judgment? What's our calculation? That, if one died, all died. Now, this is the mystery of the gift that's really like, what? It's like, yikes. If one died, who's that? Jesus Christ. then all died. God saw you, God saw me in him way back then. Isn't that amazing? I think it's astonishing. God saw me in him then. When Jesus died, I died. I died with Christ. Now, Paul said it this way, I have been crucified with Christ. Yet I live, but not I. But Christ, the gift, lives in me. In the life I now live, I live by the faith of the gift. I live by the faith of Jesus, who loved me. He loved me. And he gave himself for me. Paul knew he was gift, Jesus wrapped. Gift wrapped. So God's view of you, God's view of me, is God saw us in Christ when he died, when he was crucified, when he was buried, when he was raised, when he ascended, and now seated in heaven. How do you explain that? How do you explain the indescribable? I can't explain that, but that's what the New Covenant teaches. I can't explain it. I'm leaving town, but your pastor can explain it when I leave town. I don't know what to say. You explain it all to him. But you know what I do? I believe it. I believe that I was included in him and you were too. All your sins have been forgiven.
It's true.
All your sins have been forgotten. I tell you, when you take time and read things like Hebrews 8 and different things and talks about the astonishment now of what he's going to do in you just because God saw you in him. It's absolutely marvelous. So this is the way I stay compelled. This is what motivates me. This is how I start my day. This is how I started it today. I woke up today, looked out the window and said, look at that. There's not a cloud in the sky. And we're in England. The sun is shining. Then I had a scary thought. I wonder who will come to church on a sunny day. But all these wonderful love folk by God are compelled to come and love one another. But it's a beautiful thing. But I took time and let God love me. Because Keith Hershey in and of himself is a big disappointment to himself. Big time. But in Christ, my goodness. It's amazing. So when you live, when you see yourself living loved versus living according to the flesh, your life will have different expressions. You know, a flesh expression can be pretty nasty, can't it? Huh? A love expression can be like supernatural. Like, how in the world did that happen? Where did that kind of grace come from? And so you have to decide the expressions of your life based on how you want to cooperate with the one who loves you. That's a gift that's indescribable. You can't fully figure it out. The natural man can never fully understand it. But it can be gripped deep in your soul. You can know when you're believing that you're loved by the Father. It saturates deep into your system. In fact, you don't even have words to fully say what's happening. But you know, he's got you. He loves me. He's forgiven me. And I had nothing to do with it except to say, cool. Amen. I want it. I take it. I receive it. And this is the beauty of believing. Jesus, the living word, wraps you, and you're beautiful in him. You're absolutely beautiful in him. You're holy in him. You're righteous in him. You're everything you think you're not according to the flesh. Everything you think you're not, you are, according to God's opinion of you. God's opinion of you is Jesus, and that's the beautiful news. Let me show you a couple of things that Jesus talks to us about being compelled, okay, or motivated in life. And I'm going to use myself as an example so nobody thinks I'm picking on them. I don't want to pick on anybody in England. Now, if I'm preaching in America, I'll pick on all the folk of America. But when I'm a visiting preacher, I'll just pick on me. Number one is compelled to go the extra mile. Now, in life, this week, you're going to be compelled to do something that you probably don't want to do. Huh? You're going to be compelled. There's going to be an opportunity that suddenly interrupts your life, and you're going to have to make a decision. Am I compelled to help? Am I compelled to go another mile? Or am I compelled to say, I don't think so? Now, the key for in my life, when Keith Hershey lives according to the flesh, I don't want to help nobody. I'm just not very nice. I'm a lot like Steve Thomas. I'm just not very nice. You know what I mean? I don't want to help nobody. Huh? But when I'm being loved by the Father, I want to help everybody. The motivation of Keith Hershey being compelled, even in ministry, and I'm a missions guy. You think I want to do all this stuff and just wake up and say, yeah, no. Keith Hershey has to stay loved by the Father to do anything. So look at it, it says, compelled to go the extra mile. Matthew 5, verse 41, Jesus says this, whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too, or go the extra mile with him, go with him too. This guy says, what a bummer. You don't have to go 1 mile, you got to go two. Huh? You ever have, none of you do, I'm sure, so let me just talk about me. You ever have people in your life, like the genealogy tree of the Hershey family is kind of ragged around the edges. Do you know what I mean? It's not perfect people. It's beautiful people, but people with all kinds of pain and problems. And a lot of family members now, when they need help, do you know who they come to? The preacher. Because they think the preacher's nice. But this preacher in the flesh is not all that nice. God has to help me be nice and go the first mile with people and the second mile with people, even family members. Now, I know none of you are like that. You're so wonderful. So Keith Hershey has to stay gift-wrapped. I have to live love to make it in the ministry. Every day, I have to live love. Otherwise, I can get very disappointed, and then I can get judgmental, and I can get a little feisty, and I can get a little mean. Even though I'm saved, I can live very fleshly, carnal life. So it's very, very important that I learn to live love. This is what we do in missions. Let me show you a couple mission pictures real quick. Here we are. This is people going to our church plants. We got a few church plants, like 21 or something, in the Philippines, in Mindanao. And these people got to walk across a river to get to church. Would you go to church every Sunday if you had to cross a river like this? Just think, you live where there's modern communications, technologies, vehicles, whatever. And yet it's tough to get people to be faithful. These people every Sunday cross rivers because there's no roads where they are. Let's go to another picture. You know, I think I'd visit that church one time and probably never visit again. Hallelujah. Let's go to another. This, you know, or ride horses. You know, our ministry, we buy horses for people, for our leaders. You know, this guy, I don't want to buy horses for nobody in the flesh. But this guy, man, I bought all kinds of horses. Why? Just so people can be compelled to do the ministry. Let's go to another picture real quick. This is Bible schools. We have, this is an unreached people group, the Nobi people. I don't always want to help everybody and train them. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of money. This guy doesn't want to do it. But Keith Hershey, live in love, I'll train everybody. I'll find the money. It's amazing. So the key in life is to live love. Let God love you. Believe it. Believe that the gift wraps you. Believe the truth about you is not those negative flesh frailties, but the truth about you is Jesus, the Lamb of God. Let's go. Is there another picture or anything else there? Okay, good. Compelled to give extra. That's a bummer. Maybe we'll skip that point. I think we ought to, should we, oh, let's go through it. Okay, we'll go real quick. Okay, so it doesn't bug any of us. Look at Luke 6:29. Jesus said, from him who takes away your coat, do not withhold your tunic either. And, you know, giving is always required of all of us. It's in life, with family, with the community, with neighbors, with your local church, whatever. And I wish I could tell you I'm a generous guy. This guy doesn't want to give nothing. When Keith Hershey is in the flesh, I am stingy. When Keith Hershey's living loved, my. I'm the most generous guy that Heidi knows. You know what I mean? If we're going shopping sometime, Heidi says, are you going in the flesh or are you going to love? Hallelujah. Because she knows when I'm living love, man, she just speaks the word, you know? But it's amazing in terms of generosity. I wish I could tell you I was born to give, but I'm really not. When you're living in the flesh, you're always calculating budgets. When you're living loved, you're living according to calling or assignment. It's a whole different way to live. And that's why being loved to me is so important. God made it that you would be accepted in the beloved. What I tell people that I do in terms of my life calling now, my ministry, is teach people how to be loved. If I can tell people the truth that they're accepted in the beloved and God did everything, just take a step, believe it, and learn to be loved. God will change everything about your world.
It's true.
And this is what's so powerful. Let's show you a few pictures here real quick. Now, Steve's seen some of these. This is our distribution for all the Muslim people in Beirut at our Life Center. Let's go to another picture real quick. Here, look at Steve Thomas. He's in that picture. The good-looking guy's over here on the right, but Steve's right there. Anyway, we're renting apartments for Muslim families. This is the Muslim Syrian refugees. This guy didn't want to rent nobody an apartment. That was $600 a month. We had like, I can't remember how many of them we did. You get one big room, they had like 10 people sleeping there, and then another room. This guy doesn't want to rent nothing for nobody. But Keith Hershey, Living Love, let's help people. Now, this lady, Steve, you remember, she's radically saved, filled with the Holy Spirit. Yet you look at her and think she's just a practicing Muslim. No, she's dressing culturally maybe as a Muslim or her Middle Eastern whatever, but she's radically redeemed.
Yeah.
You know, you don't greet the Muslim ladies or touch them or give them, like sometimes I'll shake your hand, give you a little hug, how you doing, cool, you know. But over there, you know, hey, how you doing, nice to meet you, God's good. I don't touch. But this woman, she attacks me. She wants to hug the preacher. And she says, I am so glad for the Syrian war. I said, you are? Oh, we lost everything. You did? Why are you glad? Oh, because in our refugee status, we found the Life Center. And in the Life Center, we found the love of God. We got redeemed. So this guy, Keith Hershey, gift wrap, gets thrilled that my little $600 a month helped a family know Jesus. But this guy didn't want to help nobody. Keith Hershey has to fight every day of his life to stay loved. You know, the works of, this is a flesh. Galatians 5 says, the works of the flesh are these. This life is a life of work. You're always trying to feel good about yourself and do enough and feel like you're holy or righteous or nice or whatever. This is not a life of work. This is a life of rest.
Yeah.
This is the fruit of the Spirit. It's love. It's the love of the Father. It's the joy of the Father. It's the peace of the Father. It's just a reciprocal blessing because you're anchored in Him. And it's a beautiful thing. Let's show another picture if we can real quick. This is 120 kids at our school in Nigeria. I don't want to help none of them. I don't want to pay no more tuition fees. None. I don't want to pay no more uniform fees. This guy can get really grumpy and grouchy. But if this guy, Keith Hershey, lives loved, I'll bathe the vision in my heart. I'll say, let's rock and roll. Let's go for it. God's going to help us. So see, you gotta decide every day how you're going to live as a believer. You got to decide. Your husband, your wife, your brother, your sister can't decide for you. The preacher, Mark, can't decide for you. You got to decide to be loved. You got to decide. Let's go to another picture real quick. This is our kids, super kids. And I'm going there next month. We just built, this is one of our homes. We're building another. We just completed another home for girls. All these kids. You know, it's amazing trying to help all these people. Let's go to the next point real quick. Compelled, number three, compelled to feed the hungry. I think I'm going to stop here. What time is it? I'm getting hungry. What time is the church service in here? Huh? Church service over? Okay. One more point. Good. He said it was over 10 minutes ago. Let's carry on anyway. Let me show you this real quick. Compelled to feed the hungry. Jesus said it in Matthew 5:44. Jesus said, but I say to you, love your enemies. What a bummer. Huh? How can you do that? How do you love enemies if you're living a flesh life? not very well. You cuss them out. Look at it. Bless those who curse you. You got to be kidding me. Blessing those that curse me? You ever have somebody come and just curse you out? Curse your wife out? Curse your mama out? Curse everybody around? You say, man, that is awesome. Can we have lunch together? You know, like, how do you be nice to people who curse you? It says, do good to those who hate you. You got to be kidding me. I tell you what, I found in our little life in ministry, we got haters. Oh, my. My, they're stacked high and deep sometimes. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Keith Hershey has to live love so I can deal with people. So I can deal with people. I live love to deal with people. I live love to deal with my own family. I live love to deal with my own staff. I have to live loved. I have to live loved. Let me show you a couple pictures real quick. Then I'm going to stop, I think. Feeding all the people. These are Muslim kids. There's like 240 kids a day now. It's crazy. Let's go to another picture. This is at our campus in the Philippines. We have hundreds and hundreds of people. I feed them all. Bless their hearts. It's beautiful. Let's go to another picture. Compelled to build. Oh, that's a bummer. Who wants to build anything? This guy doesn't want to build nothing. This guy will build everything. It's amazing. Let's go see the pictures real quick. What were we talking about? Okay, there's one of the new churches. I was just dedicated last year when I was there. Let's go to another picture. Our campus we built. Our main campus. Let's go to another picture. Building all the stuff for the culverts. My goodness. I definitely didn't want to do that. Let's go to another picture. Look at that. My goodness. Let's go to another picture. All these rooms, apartments. Let's go to another picture for Syrian refugees. This is life home. This is what we just built. Let's go to another picture. Oh, that's the finished project. Okay, cool. So this is what I'm going to dedicate next month, all for girls. Let's go to another picture. This is a sports pavilion. Awesome. Let's go to another picture. That's the finished project. Glass backboards in all the Philippines. It's really cool. Having a big basketball tournament, like 20 teams from all these villages. Let's go to another picture. Oh, wonderful. Compelled to share the good news. This is how I live. Let's just go through this real quick. Go to the, the pictures. That's. Are you coming to Beirut sometime? You need to come. Look at that. We'd have you up there preaching all these beautiful people. Let's go to another picture. Helping pastors. Let's go to another picture. It's all done. Thank God it's all done. Aren't you glad it's all done? Give the Lord a shout of praise. Can you do that? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah!